Well, good morning, everybody. I'm grateful for the opportunity to be up here, and thank you for allowing me this privilege. It is Father's Day, and I'd be remiss if I didn't take the opportunity to just say something about my dad. Now, back in, I think it was 2001, I just packed up. My family, everybody I know lived in Maine, and I packed up and moved halfway across the country to go marry a girl. And my poor mom was brokenhearted, but my dad was always supportive of me. You know, it's tough sometimes looking back and you realize the sacrifices that your parents make for you. And I didn't realize it at the time, you know, how tough it was. My dad was an over-the-road truck driver. I mean, I don't know how many, it seemed like hundreds of hours a week he worked, more hours than there were in the week. And he just sacrificed and did whatever it took in order to take care of us. You know, he was home on the weekends, and when he was with us, it was quality time. You know, I knew my dad loved me. My dad was a godly man. He set the example. And looking back on it, I was so impressed at how faithful my father was to my mom. All the traveling he did, everything else. And my dad and mom are still married today. My dad's always been faithful to her. He set such an example. And Dad, if you're listening to this down the road, thanks, Dad, and I love you. So, anyway, let's get moving forward. You know, Father's Day is an important day. It's a time where we really stop and we recognize dads for the big roles that they play in people's lives. And today we're going to be talking quite a bit about roles, and not just roles of dads, but roles of, you know, husbands, brothers, sons, nephews, whatever the role that you have, and not just men, but also all the women in here. So nobody gets a pass. I hope you all pay attention today, except Connie. She's allowed to take a nap. Just kidding. Inside joke, sorry. But who is it that you make a difference to? And what would happen if you weren't there? That's the question. Did a little research. In America, 1 in 3 children grow up without a daddy. That's 15 million kids right now who don't have a dad in the home. I didn't even believe that. I actually checked multiple websites just to be sure. And that statistic holds true everywhere I look. You know, and for some racial groups, it's much worse. But that's on average. And I tell you, that speaks something. You know, a lot of you have probably come from a broken home, or at least some of you do. And I know there's a lot of reasons why families fall apart. It's, you know, things don't always work out the way we hoped. But unfortunately, I think the vast majority of the time, families fall apart because dads aren't willing to step into that role of fatherhood, in that role of being a husband that God has called them to. Now, as believers, we aren't immune to the challenges that create a functional family. Now, there have been many studies conducted that actually indicate Christian believers have the same divorce rate as non-believers. Now, we live in a very challenging world these days. It takes effort to step up into that role and responsibility. The family of believers that we call the body of Christ isn't different either. You know, we've all been called to assume very specific roles within the body of Christ. And that doesn't always mean that we step into those roles willingly as well. Today's message is going to be entitled, Three Lies, or more fittingly, Three Lies the Devil Uses to Hurt the Family. And so, you know, sometimes our spiritual and physical families will overlap. So this is going to apply to both today, however it may speak to your heart. But lie number one, Satan wants to tell you, you're inadequate. Well, this is a big one these days. Many Christians have become convinced they're a non-essential part of the body of Christ. We might go to church, we might go through the motions, but you can tell they're just kind of checked out. And it obviously doesn't work in an individual family, being checked out, feeling non-essential. You know, why do we think that it would work in the body of Christ? Yet so many people just go through the motions. Now, the truth is that we've all been specially gifted and specifically called to a purpose and to a role within the body of Christ and within our family structures. Now, that doesn't mean we all embrace those callings. Have you ever run away from a conversation, maybe because someone asked you what your spiritual gifting was? I know I have, and it wasn't because I didn't know, but it was because I felt inadequate. It was. You know, sometimes we want to have it all together before we're willing to step out at all and be willing to do anything. You know, for instance, I'm kind of an enigma. It makes me a little uncomfortable, but on some level I enjoy public speaking. But, you know, it takes a little while to settle in, of course. But being around a crowd of people just chit-chatting on a normal basis makes me really uncomfortable. So, you know, go figure. I'm okay to stand up here. Or how about this? I love to be hospitable. You know, Joy and I love to help people in need. But sometimes I just wish I was invisible instead. You know, you ever been there? We all struggle. You know, I wrote on here, I'm a beautiful broken believer. You know, and it's only by the grace of God that I'll ever accomplish anything in my life. And I hope you all are right there with me. Don't leave me hanging. Maybe you know that you have a gift as well, but you feel like you're not very good at using it. Now, I think we all have a natural tendency to do one of two things. We either compare ourselves to the lowest common denominator. We say, you know what, at least I'm doing something. You know, and we say, okay, I'm doing something and that's good enough. Or we hold ourselves to an unreasonably high standard, something absolutely unattainable. And we say, I can't do that, and so you don't even try. So many people fall into these categories. If you don't, God bless you. You know, maybe you're convinced that you don't have anything to offer, but thankfully God hasn't really called you to offer anything other than yourself. Nobody's going to meet His particular standard of excellence. It's God that does the calling and God that does the equipping in our lives, right? You know, there's precedent in the Bible that God actually gifts people in varying degrees. You know, I was thinking about Jethro back in the Old Testament and God's wisdom that He demonstrated when He recommended Moses set aside, you know, rulers over groups of 10, groups of 50s, groups of hundreds, and groups of thousands. You know, it really indicated that, look, people are gifted to govern in specific ways and over certain numbers. I tell you what, I mean, if I was standing in front of a group of 1,000 people right now, I'd probably be hiding in the pulpit instead of talking to you. You know, but God doesn't throw us into situations we're not prepared for. That's a very important thing to understand. And something else. Have you ever thought about how foolish it is to compare yourself to someone else? God created us all for different purposes. And those purposes are person-specific. So that means no matter how much I would try, I could never step into the shoes of a great preacher, or a Billy Sunday, or, you know, somebody who really made an impact in the world. But, you know, on the other hand, I could never step into the shoes of an inmate on death row right now who only recently came to know the Lord. See, all three of these people have very specific callings in their lives. God has set us aside for very specific tasks and roles to accomplish. Excuse me. A lot of times someone allows their pasts to haunt them, and the truth is that so often those who have had trouble in the past have amazing opportunities to minister to the lost that others would never have. So don't allow your past to haunt you with these things. Don't allow it to make you feel inadequate, because you're not. It's not you. Other times people convince themselves they can't do anything just because they can't do everything. We want to have it all together. But we're not called to do everything. And that's why it's called the body of Christ. We've talked about that many times. You know, we see in Romans where we have many members in one body, and all the members do not have the same function. So we, who are many, are one body in Christ. We've all heard that verse, but do we really stop to understand that verse? That we play a specific role within the body. Sometimes we feel like, oh, my role doesn't count. But do you have any body parts you'd just like to do away with? Sure, okay, Jake. No matter how big or small The role that you play a vitally important role within the body of Christ and within your family, which is also hopefully part of the body of Christ. But it's really easy to lose sight of that and just kind of give in to that lie that you don't matter. And just remember, we are all a very important part of the body. So let's understand that the feelings of insecurity or ineptitude keep many people from pursuing God's will for their lives. And I want to use Moses for an example today. You know, God called Moses to lead millions of people. But Moses was so nervous around people that many scholars actually believe he had a terrible stutter. I wasn't there. I don't know if it's true. But he argued with God, you know, time after time. He talked, basically told God, "God, you've got the wrong man for the job. Can't you pick somebody else? I need help, God. I can't, you know what?" And he just, he continuously argued with God. But what made Moses great in the Bible wasn't what he had to offer, what he brought to the table. It was that in the end, he finally just said, "Okay." And he did what God asked him to do. Right? And Moses led, 2.5 million people at one point. God prepared Moses for a very specific work, you know, through his entire life. And God had a specific plan for him. God also has a very specific plan for us. Let's take a look at some scripture. Hebrews 13, 20 and 21. Now may the God of peace, who by the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead the great shepherd of the sheep, our Lord Jesus Christ, equip you with every good thing to do his will, working in us what is pleasing before him through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever. Amen. That's a long sentence. Sometimes we tend to miss out on the real crux of a verse. We get tied up in the prepositional phrases, whatever we might have. So I underline kind of some keys for us. If we just read the underlying parts, we say, may the God of peace equip you with every good thing to do his will, working in us what is pleasing before him through Christ Jesus. And that's awesome that God actually wants to equip us with every good thing. Not some of the good things, you know, not just enough for us to get up and embarrass ourselves, but every good thing to do his will, the task that he's called us to. You know, he wants to work in us what is pleasing before him. That's an awesome statement. How about the verse on the wall? It's interesting Kevin actually popped in and mentioned this. It's one of the most famous verses in the Bible, and it is for a good reason. Jeremiah 29:11, I know the plans I have for you. We've got it in bold back there. And if that verse ended right there, it'd probably still be one of the greatest verses in all the Bible. I know the plans I have for you. That God has a very specific plan for me. That's an awesome feeling. How can I feel inept? How can I possibly feel like I don't matter when I know that God has a plan for my life individually? And of course, he does for you as well, every person in this room. Let's put that alongside one more. There we go. Ephesians 2:10, we're God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works that God prepared beforehand so we may do them. Our entire purpose, our entire reason for being is to accomplish that purpose that God has called us specifically to. Now, one of my favorite quotes by modern pastor is by John Piper. Many of you probably know him. He's a big pastor up in Minnesota. And he likes to say, God is most glorified in us when we are most satisfied in him. And so the question is, do you find satisfaction in the work that God's called you to? Because there's no greater purpose you can serve and no bigger thing you can achieve than to know you're accomplishing the work that God had called you to. These roles that God has called us to step into are so vitally important. All right. So that's lie number one. Satan wants you to feel inadequate. Lie number two. Satan says, your priorities, my priorities are perfect, just the way they are. Yeah. What are the three biggest priorities in your life? I bet they're the same as mine. I'm just kidding. More realistically, I hope our top priority, I hope that we'd list them. God. What's another big priority in our lives? Somebody tell me. Family. Oh, good one. What usually comes next? Food? Sure. You know, I put work, because if we don't work, we can't eat. Oop. Excuse me, I'm going to move this. So priorities, why are they so important? Well, because they have a horrible tendency to get flipped upside down. Oh, thanks to DJ and Jake for my really cool slideshow as well. They wanted to help with my PowerPoint. Appreciate that, guys. Our priorities tend to get flipped on their heads. And as if that's not bad enough, we also tend to find that work kind of dominates. We squeeze the family in where we can. And then if there's a little bit of time left over, we'll make it room for God. You know, we come to church on Sunday morning. And why is it that work tends to dominate our lives? I know some of you are retired, and I'm sorry I've left you out. But although I've never met a retired person who actually doesn't work anymore, and so I don't know. My neighbor, I think, works more hours than me. He's been retired for 10 years. Why is it the work becomes so big? Is it that we've become addicted to just making the few extra dollars? No. Maybe it's because we find our identity, our purpose in our jobs. No. What is it that makes work so big? And we always justify it too, at least in our minds, right? We could say, I worked this hard so that my family can have it better than I did growing up, right? Or, you know, at my job, I'm important. I'm somebody at my job. It makes me feel like I have a real reason for being. You know, whatever the reason is, and however we try to justify it, the truth isn't going to lie in what we say, but the truth is going to lie in our actions. You know, so if work gets bigger as everything gets smaller, you know, and what we say has no bearing on it, then let's take a look at this. What's the right way to live? We can see God's called us to work hard. You know, he tells us in Ecclesiastes 9:10, whatever you do with your hands, do it with all your might. It isn't that work is a bad thing. Don't get me wrong. It's absolutely not. But if we put that side by side with say Matthew 22:37, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. And put that side by side with Ephesians 5:25, husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Those three verses create a tall order in our lives. That's a lot of effort and a lot of work, right? So how can we work with all our might, love God with all our heart, soul, and mind, and love our families as Jesus loved the church? I really think that comes down to a matter of priorities in our life. When they get flipped upside down, this becomes impossible. It is so vital that God be the number one thing in our lives. Because if we can put God first, if we focus on building our relationship with God and walking in the role that He's called us to, then you know what? At work, our coworkers are going to see that. We're going to thrive in that environment. You know, our coworkers will see the love of Christ in the actions that we do. When we come home from work, our families will feel so loved. Because through our relationship with Christ, we'll understand what it really means to sacrifice and to demonstrate love. Not just tell them we love them, but to demonstrate it in our actions. But no matter what you do and how hard you work on your priorities, they still have a sneaky tendency to get messed up. So priorities take constant vigilance. Remember, you know, we live in this world overflowing with distractions. And we're constantly being pulled more and more hours at work. We're commuting further distances and being stuck in traffic. And so many distractions that keep us. It takes a real concentrated effort in order to keep these straight. So be vigilant about it. Let's move on to line number three. The devil wants to tell you that this is just who you are. It's okay. I've actually heard it several times from people. They say, it's just who I am. And Satan would love more than anything for you to be complacent in your life. His heart's desire is for you to accept your faults, the things that you battle with, and just live with them. He leaps for joy when we fail to step into the role that God has called us to. You know, living on cruise control is not living at all. And that's because our acceptance of sin in our lives can really totally devastate our opportunity to do God's perfect will in our lives. And if you think doing nothing is okay, it's not true. You know, James 4:17 tells us, so whoever knows what is good to do and does not do it is guilty of sin. We can't just do nothing. It doesn't work. You know, sometimes we want our children, hopefully always, we want our children to be godly. But we don't lead. You know, we're content to just live on cruise control. We're content to just kind of barely maybe keep them between the buoys. You know, we tell them maybe, do as I say, not as I do. Hopefully none of you have ever heard or said that. Right? But, in reality, if we want our families to thrive, we need to live with integrity. We need to be men and women of integrity in our homes. If we want to see our Christian family thrive, the body of Christ here in the church, we also need to be men and women of integrity. Right? You know, your family is blessed because, according to Proverbs 27, the just man walks in his integrity. His children are blessed after him. You want blessings for your family? You're going to walk in integrity. You're not going to just talk about it. You're not going to think about it or just pray about it. You're going to walk in it. You're going to take action, consistent action, with straight priorities, and you're going to see the devil get absolutely squashed in the lie that when he tells you that, oh, it's okay, just accept it. The things that you struggle with, that particular sin that just keeps sneaking up in your life, it's okay, that's just who you are. No, it's not. And we can change. You know, the real challenge with sin is how much fun it starts out as. Now, if we go back to our example of Moses, we can actually jump up to Hebrews 11:25. By faith, when he grew up, Moses refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to be ill-treated with the people of God than to enjoy sin's fleeting pleasure. Now, when Moses grew up, it doesn't say Moses didn't want to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, or Moses wished people wouldn't. It says Moses refused. Moses desired more than anything to be identified with God's people. And he chose to separate himself from sin's fleeting pleasure. He knew that identifying with Christ and refusing those temptations that Satan offered in his life was the only path that would lead to his ultimate success in life. Right? And it's going to be the same with us. You know, sometimes we just battle sin. That's life. That's our sin nature. Right? And if you are battling with something, one of those little things that maybe you've been struggling with for so long that you've just come to the point where it's just part of you. God promises to all of us, you know, in Isaiah 55:6-7. I think this is an awesome verse to just think about once in a while. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he's near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, that he may have compassion on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. So there's nothing that you've done that's too wrong. You haven't been stuck in the wrong path for so long that God won't, with open arms, take you back and forgive you. Don't give in to the lies that Satan wants to throw into our faces, because each of these lies is just one more tool he wants to use to destroy our families, to cause us to not walk in those roles that he's called us to. And that, again, goes the same for our church. If we don't walk in the roles that he's called us within the body of Christ, Satan is jumping up and down. He's excited because he's caused one more person to lose their opportunity to impact the world. So if you're struggling, seek the Lord while he may be found. I don't have a lot to talk about today. I want to review with you, though, because these are important. The three lies. You're inadequate. Your priorities are perfect. This is just who you are. It's okay. Are you dealing with feelings of inadequacy today? Maybe as a father or mother, you know, or maybe as it pertains to your spiritual gifts in the church or your service in the church. You know, if you are, take time alone with God today and confess that. Because really what it comes down to is a sin of pride. See, when we feel inadequate, what we're really doing is questioning God's judgment. We're saying, God, I know better than you. You picked the wrong person. And that kind of puts us in a rough spot. And so if that's you, take some time today. Take some quiet time. Step aside and confess that. Tell God, you know, the greatest thing we could ever do is like Isaiah said, you know, if we could just accept that we have nothing to offer, and we could just, like Isaiah said, here am I, Lord, send me. And we could just offer ourselves with nothing else. That's when God's really going to use us. You want purpose in life? Offer yourself to God. Don't negotiate with Him, because you really didn't bring anything to the table. How about our priorities? You know, are they upside down? They really have a tendency to get that way. And if you're battling with priorities, remember, it all comes down to time, right? We've only been given so many minutes in this life. And how we choose to invest those minutes is going to make all the difference. Are we going to make wise investments or poor investments? Are we going to allow the distractions of the world to flip those priorities? Are we going to make quality investments? Remember, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Right? And third, is there a sin in your life that's hurting you or those around you? Are we making excuses or being complacent, just kind of living in the status quo, going on cruise control? Confess the sin. Move past it. Realize that God will forgive us. God will give us the power to overcome these things that we battle with. Now, what's His promise to us? If we confess our sin, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so if we take action, the three lies end up becoming, you see, you are inadequate. You know, according to God, you're chosen by God. Your priorities are perfect? Sure they are. Proper priorities take hard work. And this is just who you are. It's okay. Well, the truth is, he's still working on me. And so we see those three lies become three truths in our life. Three truths that we can cling to when the challenges come. When Satan wants to throw those fiery darts at us, we can reject those lies. Those things that he wants to do to destroy our family. We need to be aware of the tactics that Satan uses. You know, his greatest desire is to break down our families and break down our churches. And so we can recognize these tactics, when we can pause once in a while to focus and say, you know, is this happening to me? A lot of times this is a simple message. It's short. I want you to be home with your families. I want you to be able to invest in them. But it's so vitally important. All three of these things, if we can really apply them in our lives, it can absolutely change your entire perspective, your outlook. When you start to see God use you, even if it's just in a small way, it doesn't matter, because it's not small in God's eyes. It's exactly what He made you for. So never be afraid or run from God's calling in your life. Always be willing to just say, here am I, Lord, send me. So with that, I'm going to pray and we're going to dismiss. Father God, I thank you today. Thank you just for the opportunity to be here, or just to share with your people. Lord, as we're here, our pastor's traveling, Lord, I just pray that you'll be with them and bless them. We thank you for having a man of God here every week that can speak the word to us, Lord. Please be with Jason. Lord, on this Father's Day, Lord, we just thank you for the perfect picture of a father that you've given to us. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you didn't back away from the role that you were called to. Lord, we thank you for the sacrifice that you made for us. Lord, help us to step into the roles that you've called us to. Help us not to run or to be inadequate. Help us to keep our priorities straight. Lord, help us never to be satisfied with sin in our lives. Father, just bless us today. Be with us. Strengthen us and encourage us. In your precious name we pray. Amen. All right. Thank you. You're dismissed.